So last week, we looked at the new song, the song number one on the new album, Trench. It's called Jumpsuit by the 21 Pilots, and I already explained what it meant. And it's just remarkable to me. If you weren't here last week, you can go not only listen, but you can watch the sermon online at woodsedge.org/students. It's remarkable to me that this seemingly secular contemporary band that it's not Christian, that in one song, they laid out everything you need to know to start a relationship with Jesus Christ. Like, they walk you through it in order of the decisions you have to make. It blows me away. That demands that we pay attention and say, like, what's going on here? If last week's sermon was about how to find your faith, how to begin a relationship with Jesus, how to recognize that, man, I'm living in a spiritual reality here, not just a physical one, then I would say this week's sermon is about how to protect your faith, how to protect that decision to give yourself to Jesus. You guys, you can't lose your salvation, all right? You can't lose your salvation. Once you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior and invite him into your heart, boom, you're sealed, you're covered, you're going to heaven regardless. But your faith still has to grow. Your walk with the Lord still has to get strong. And if you neglect it, if you neglect to invest in your faith, it can be whittled away and worn down. So, putting your faith in Jesus is only step one. There are multiple other steps after that to grow in your relationship with the Lord. So, if last week's sermon, if the song Jumpsuit was about how to find your faith, this week's sermon, the music video Nico and the Niners and the lyrics that accompany it are about how to protect your faith. Check this out.
Certain will win, but not everyone will get out. No, no. win, but not everyone will get out. No, no, we win, but not everyone will get out. East is up, I'm fearless when I hear this on the low. East is up, I'm careless when I wear my rebel clothes. East is up, when bishops come together, they will know that Dima don't control us. Dima don't control. East is up.
So to understand that, you really have needed to have watched the first video, but the main thing you need to know is last week we see this guy played by Tyler, and he recognizes the spiritual reality around him. He recognizes that there's a battle going on for his soul between good and evil. The battle is largely taking place in his mind and our thought life. And he recognizes, man, I need to turn. I need to choose light instead of darkness. I need to choose Jesus instead of Satan. And then in the video, after he makes his choice, right, he decides for the light. He decides for truth. He's running towards it. He trips and he falls, which happens to all of us, right? We are running towards Jesus, but sometimes life and circumstances just happen and we just take a spill. We land hard on the ground. It's discouraging. It hurts. But the question is, like, why did he fall? I mean, wasn't he just saved? Didn't he just have this aha moment of, I need Jesus? Why did he so quickly fall? Well, I would answer that question with another question. When we believe and declare that Jesus is Lord, which is what God says in Romans, that's all we need to do to start our relationship with Jesus. Believe and declare that Jesus is Lord and Savior, boom, you're saved. When we do that, we receive salvation. We receive forgiveness for our sins. We receive this powerhouse of a supernatural entity known as the Holy Spirit, the third personality of God, like that he comes and lives in us. Like, it's amazing how wonderful and mysterious that is. Like, all these amazing things happen when we choose Jesus. But does that mean that from that moment on, for the rest of your mortal life, that everything's gonna be fine? That you're never gonna cry again? That you're never gonna get hurt again? That you're never gonna have sorrow or pain again? No, of course not. Because while we are still down here before heaven, while we are still down here, we are still at war every day with the enemy of our souls. We are still behind enemy lines. We are still in the trenches. So what do? We choose Jesus, but then what? Like, okay, everything's not going to just be hunky-dory. Like, I need something to do with my life. Well, Colossians chapter 2, 6 through 7 answers that question. Friends, just as you accepted Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. What do? After confessing Jesus as our Savior, after believing and declaring, we continue toward Jesus. We grow in Jesus. We build our lives on Jesus. We strengthen our faith in Jesus. We overflow with gratitude for Jesus. And you'll notice the verbs, they're all present tense. It's now, it's today. Continue, grow, build, overflow. Now, the first stanza of this song is gibberish, right? It's just like, if you look at the lyrics, it shows that it's actually something spoken backwards. Again, you gotta pay attention. You gotta think, just like scripture demands our full attention. So do the lyrics of these songs, and here's what it says. We renounce vileism, leave Dima and head true east. We are bandidos. So, what is that saying? What is that declaring? You guys, that right there is the gospel once more, just rephrased. Now, I've done some research on this, and I've pulled some scriptures that I think this is directly quoting, but to renounce something, it means to repent. And we already know from Matthew 4:17 last week that repent is the way to salvation, to change the way that you think. Now, vileism, what is that? I think we're going to hear more about it in other songs, but if we're renouncing this thing, vileism, what is it? Well, do you know that in scripture, in 2 Corinthians 4:7, that God calls us, his children, vials? Vessels that he pours his light into. So working theory, if we're renouncing vileism, what does that mean? It means that we're renouncing worshiping ourselves, because we live in a world that's all about you can do it, you can figure out, just do what makes you feel good, and just keep trying to do things your way. But you guys, I'll tell you firsthand, and maybe some of you that wrote out your brokenness on this rock can testify firsthand. Aren't you tired of trying to do things your way? Aren't you realizing that you can't depend on yourself? Leave Dema. That right there is Acts 26:18, our primary teaching scripture last week. Leave the dark. Leave the power of Satan. Escape. Run. Flee from evil. Where do we go? Head true east. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 says that Eden, where we were created to live, perfection, paradise, that place that we get to be with God, is where? East. So Eden is east. Home is east. Our real life hidden with God is east. And then it declares we are banditos. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that you guys, when we put our faith in Jesus, do you know what happens in that moment? We have a new identity. And we are made ambassadors for Christ. We are given an identity that says we go down into people's lives, down into places no one else goes, and we rescue people. We steal people right out of the enemy's hands. We're like bandits stealing from the enemy and giving back to Jesus. So we renounce vileism, leave Dema, and head true east. We are banditos. Rephrased, it says this. If we would just simply stop worshiping ourselves, what we can do, what man says is the best way, and if we pursue Jesus, if we pursue the truth of the gospel, if we pursue heaven, then we will discover our true identity, our true calling. Now, the song says that I'm fearless when I hear this on the low, and I'm careless when I wear my rebel clothes. You guys, I just explained the gospel to you a second time in 2 weeks, and I believe for most of us it's easy to admit that those things are true, to admit that Jesus is real, to admit I need a Savior. I think it's easy because you're hearing it in here. You're hearing it in this private setting. One could say you're hearing it on the low. So it's easy to believe in Jesus in here. It's easy to admit that the Bible is true in here. It's easy to say and to feel love for other peoples more than yourself in here. But how are you doing, and how am I doing out there where it counts, where people's lives are on the line? How are we doing believing and declaring Jesus at home if you live in a home where you're the only believer? How are you doing believing and declaring your faith in Jesus at school where somebody could hurt you, make fun of you, ridicule you for sharing your faith? How are you? Are you still believing and declaring? How are you doing believing and declaring your faith in Jesus at practice, at your extracurricular activities, at the mall? How are you doing believing and declaring that Jesus is real and that you belong to him in those friendships that you know if you do, it's going to change things? Well, I ask myself that very question. Lord, how am I doing in my friendships? How am I doing outside of Woods Edge when it comes to believing and declaring my faith? And God brought a scripture to mind, Matthew chapter 10, that says this. Jesus said that everyone who acknowledges me publicly, who declares me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. That really struck me. I hope it's catching you right about here, because that's a big deal. And God wants us to understand that faith and declaring his son, not just hiding him in our heart, but declaring him, is a big deal. We have to get rid of, we have to shed these rebel clothes. You guys, are you wearing your faith with pride, with humility, but confidence outside of church? Or are you wearing rebel clothes when you're outside of church? Are you wearing your "I just want to fit in" clothes? Jesus said, "Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven." I want to be acknowledged in heaven before God. I want Jesus to say, "This is Justin. He talked about me all the time. He led people to faith. He prayed for people. He read scripture and explained it to his friends." I want to hear those things. And God wants you to be said, "They did that too. Tyler did that too. John did that too. Meredith did that too." That's the promise. That's the hope. That's what we're pursuing. The second part isn't a condemnation. It's just a warning. Don't be the person that when you get to the gate, they're said, "Away, I never knew you." Yeah, sure, you proclaim me at church, but what about out there? We need to take these rebel clothes off, and we need to start living our faith. They want to make you forget, the song says. Who wants us to forget what? Well, Nico and the Niners is this symbolic just group of demons, devils, brokenness, sin, depression, you name it. And they want to make us forget that when we believe and declare Jesus as our Savior, we were rescued. When we believed and declared Jesus, we were forgiven. Like, if you're still walking around beating yourself up for what you did last night, but you believe and have declared Jesus as your Savior, why are you hurting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? God's not. Don't judge yourself more strict than he is. When we believe and declare our faith in Jesus, it says we receive the Holy Spirit. That is power. That's like a nuclear bomb is inside of me. There's so much energy and spiritual strength in me and such a one-way connection to Jesus right now that I can do miraculous things. You can do miraculous things. And the enemy wants us to forget that, ignore that, not embrace that. He wants us to forget what Hebrews chapter 11 says. By faith, God's people overthrow kingdoms, rule with justice, and receive what God promises them. Remember, notice, all of those verbs are present tense. It wasn't talking about those people then, it's talking about us now. By faith, every one of you in this room has the power to overthrow kingdoms, to rule with justice, and to receive what God has promised, is promising right now, you. They shut the mouths of lions. They quench flames of fire. They escape death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness, your brokenness is turned into strength. They become strong in battle. They put whole armies to flight. You think the enemy wants you to know that? You think he wants you to understand that? You think he wants you to walk in that? No way. But Jesus wouldn't say it's possible unless it's so possible. The enemy is afraid of every one of you in this room. And I dare say more than most. Why is he afraid of teenagers? Because when Jesus came to earth as a man, who did he go to? Teenagers. Who were his disciples? Teenagers. He went to you and he said to you, "You have the faith I'm looking for. Come with me. Let's go change the world." And what teenagers did in Jesus's day, the ripple effects are still rolling over our whole planet. Jesus has said to you, "Let's go overthrow the kingdom of darkness." And the enemy's like, "Oh, I gotta do everything I can. I gotta set up a propaganda machine that's so powerful that exists before they're even born to keep them from knowing that they can destroy me." You guys, the devil's scared of you. He is looking at you and quaking in his boots, and all he has to work with is fear, is propaganda. It's time to change the way that we think and then to change the way that we act. Save your razor blades now, not yet. There's another reference, as so many other songs do, to suicide. Because he knows, and the audience of the 21 Pilots is you. It's students, it's teens. They know suicide is so tempting. I mean, they're making whole shows. It's all about is suicide. Super cool. You should try it. You only get one chance. You guys, make no mistake. The enemy doesn't just want to discourage you. He doesn't want to just dissuade you. He wants you dead. Why do you think he's hitting you so hard, pushing you so far away from everybody? He wants you isolated, where he can just have his way with you, and he wants you to take your life. You think that's you telling yourself, I wish I was dead? That's him. He hates that you're saved. He hates that your eyes have been opened. He hates that you're at church today. He hates that you're here in truth. He hates that you can pray whenever you want and have stuff happen as a result. He'd like nothing more for every single one of you to just go home and stay in your room. He'd like nothing more than for you to just put your phone, your game, your whatever in front of your face and only look at that and never look at the rest of the world. He would like nothing more than to have you end up with a lifestyle that's so depressing and so full of comparison and so full of shame that you start to think, man, suicide's not that bad idea. That you start listening to that voice, thinking it's your own and believing it's true. That's what the enemy wants. He wants to kill you. You guys know the statistics. We threw them out there last week. 2 years ago, this community, 25 total suicides amongst teenagers. That number is horrible. And yet this year, projected suicides for teenagers in this area, 5 miles of where we're standing, 120 people. That's way more than half of this room right now. That is something that demands our attention. The enemy is scared of you. He is going so far out of his way to torment teenagers, you guys, because you are powerhouses. You are walking examples of God's grace, and there is more available to you than just salvation. How do we prevent ourselves from forgetting? How do we prevent ourselves from sliding back to that place we were before we put our faith in Jesus? Well, the answer is right there in the song. Tyler has tripped, he's fallen, the enemy scooped him up, he's deposited him in this lonely dark room. But what does Tyler do? He looks at a reminder of his salvation. He looks at a reminder of his rescue. He looks at a reminder of the truth that he has been set free. What are our reminders? How do we remind ourselves that we're saved? Well, there's five ways, five disciplines, five things that you've heard before. But hear him today in a fresh way, like your life depends on it, because it does. How do we remind ourselves that we're saved? We pray. We pray to Jesus. We pray and stuff happens. We remind ourselves that we're saved by praying to the God that hears every single prayer. We remind ourselves that we're saved by reading the Bible. Every single page in here is the good news. Every single page in here says you're free, you're powerful, you're mine, I'm with you, I'm for you. Nothing can defeat you. We read this book because we have to remind ourselves on a daily basis, I'm saved, I'm rescued. These lies, get out of here. We remind ourselves that we're saved by being in community, by being in a small group and sharing our struggles and walking along others and encouraging others when they're struggling with something that God has delivered us from. We remind ourselves that we're saved by serving with each other, by taking care of the people around us. And we remind ourselves that we're saved by worshiping God. We do it through our creativity. We do it through our lifestyle, but we do it through song, speaking truth to music. You guys, here's another picture, a slide that I made of two different outfits. And these are like our options here. We are at war. Every one of you right this moment is behind enemy lines. Are you gonna go into battle with your standard issue military garb that is presented to you like solid and whole, and it's got all kinds of knickknacks and things that you can use in your faith, this thing that helps hide you and camouflage you and protect you? Or are you going to go into battle with this holy t-shirt and these ragged jeans? The reality is, so many of us settle for wearing that after we come to faith instead of putting on and keeping on our faith and then taking care of our faith. If you're going into battle this afternoon, like real temporal, worldly war, which of the outfits are you going to wear? It's a no-brainer. I'm going with the military stuff all day, every day, because it could literally save my life. My brother-in-law is a Navy pilot. He flew for the Navy for many years. He flew these awesome Prowler planes that it's a whole rabbit hole, but it's awesome what he did for our country. And I'm talking to him about jumpsuit, and he is telling me a little more than my buddy last week told me about jumpsuits, and he shared some really interesting tips with me. He said, Justin, when I was a Navy pilot, you could just look out in the squadron and you could see the guys coming who so clearly did not take care of their jumpsuits. You could see from a mile away the guys coming who did not take care of their base layer of protection. Because if you don't take care of your jumpsuit, it gets thin. It gets torn. It can get sheer because the fabric just erodes. It requires constant care. And why would you care for it? It's there to save your life. Some guys would even cut holes in it for like ventilation, for comfort. You ever make exceptions to what God calls you to do so it's a little more comfortable? Same thing happened. And yet he said, when stuff hit the fan, when stuff got hard, when their lives were on the line, you guys, those dudes that did not take care of their jumpsuits paid the price. They got burned. They got hurt. Some of them died because they did not take care of their base layer of protection. How does that translate to us? If you don't take care of your faith, it won't take care of you. If you do not feed your faith, it will become malnourished and you will pay a heavy price. That's why God calls us to be disciplined in our faith, because he doesn't want us to get hurt. It's not, here's a bunch of rules that you have to follow because I'm in charge. It's, I don't want you to get hurt, so please do these things. Let's continue in this kind of battle motif. Here's a picture of some soldiers from World War I. They are in a what? Trench. Here's this group, this band of brothers. We'll just assume there's some sisters in there too. And here they are. Are any of them naked? Any of them wearing holy jeans and t-shirts? Or are those dudes geared up wearing their jumpsuits? They are ready. Even though there's no bullets flying at the moment, they are ready because they know at any second stuff could happen. Now, imagine that's you. Imagine that's us in this room. We're in this trench. We're down low. We're together. And understand this. Prayer is our constant communication. It's our radio to contact our commander, our general, at any given time. And when you're in the trenches, you can't see everything going on because you're down low. So you need to be able to call and say, where's the enemy? You need to be able to call and say, where are we supposed to go right now? And for those soldiers that deliberately chose not to communicate with their commanding officer, what happens to them when the bullets start to fly? They die. They don't make it. Prayer is how we communicate with our commander. So let's use it. Let's do it. God's word, the Bible says, is food for our souls. It's our nourishment. Anybody gone the last couple days without like eating a meal? Nobody? Nobody's fasting? Anybody? Maybe a little bit. I don't believe you. I don't believe them. You guys, I eat every day. I eat 3 times a day. Unfortunately, all I had for dinner last night was ice cream, and I'm feeling it like right now. But I eat every single day. If God's word is our nourishment, how often do we need to be reading it? At least once a day, if not 2 or 3. Now, what happens to soldiers who are in the trenches who, for whatever stupid reason, just decide, oh, I'm not going to eat. I'm gonna refuse to eat and be nourished and strong because I'm just gonna rely on myself. What happens to those guys when bullets start flying and they gotta move quick? They die too. You gotta take care of yourself. You gotta feed yourself. Now, staying together, journeying together, being in a small group, being part of Christian community, which we're doing right now, that's how we watch each other's backs. Being in a small group so you can say, I'm struggling with this. Guys, brothers and sisters, will you help me? That's how we take care of each other. That's how we maintain accountability. What happens to soldiers in the battlefield that deliberately choose to isolate themselves? And just like, yeah, I'm going to be fine over here alone. What happens when the enemy comes up and nobody's there to watch their back? Nobody's there to protect them? You think they're going to last very long alone? No, because they deliberately chose to remove themselves from people who were there to help them. Serving others. Serving others is how we grow in our gifts. It's how we find out, okay, am I a bombardier? Am I a general? Am I a pilot? Like, what's my job here? Serving others is how we grow our gifts. And soldiers who refuse to grow languish. They don't prosper. They're just kind of there. And we will still take care of those people, of course, because they're our brothers and sisters, but they could be helping take care of us. You right now could be helping to lead this student ministry in worship, in tech, in greeting. You need to serve. because it's how you grow. It's one of the ways you feed yourself. It's one of the ways you protect your faith. And then finally, worshiping together. You guys, when we worship together, do you know one of the things that we're doing is we're reminding ourselves through song that Jesus wins. We win. We're on the winning side. I don't care if we're losing the battle. We have already won the war. And when we worship, we declare that over ourselves, over our friends, over our city. We win. What happens to a soldier who has forgotten why they're fighting? Who has lost hope in the battle? Man, that's one of the worst sicknesses. That's one of the worst wounds a soldier can feel, being in battle where their life's on the line and they don't even know why they're fighting. That person will die. That person might get people around them killed. Contrast that lazy soldier that we just talked about who refuses to do these disciplined, simple things with the soldier who is well-fed, who is in constant communication with their commanders, who is positioned perfectly in an elite fighting unit, surrounded by people who are willing to give their lives for him, who sings on the way to battle. That person is a force to be reckoned with. And that's who God says all of you are. Believe and declare that Jesus is your Savior, and then grow in your faith. Get closer to who God really calls you to be. We do that by praying, reading our Bible, serving together, worshiping together, doing life together. Let's camp on this idea for just a second about singing on the way to battle. I love that image. Do you know in the Bible, in the Old Testament, so many times that God's people would be like vastly outnumbered, like grossly overwhelmed by the enemy, like 100-to-1 odds. And yet God would tell them time and time again, you know what? March toward the enemy, but sing on your way. And they're just like, are you joking? Are you kidding? Do you want us to die? Just trust me. And so they would march off in their little band of 2, 100, or 1,000 against 1,000,000. And they'd be on their way to battle, and they'd be singing to Jesus. And do you know what would happen? God would go before them, and he would wipe out that entire army. Because they're just declaring their victory by faith. And they're on the way to the battle, and they show up, and the whole army is dead before them because they, by faith, just decided, let's sing. Let's worship God on the way to battle. And God answered their prayer, answered that prayer set to music. Here's a slide from the video where Tyler's in the middle, and then one of the people that was just kind of like listening to Nico and the Niners with that dull look, and then Nico himself is off on the side. Did you notice that in the video that when Tyler and Josh got together, they like had a concert and they started singing, and that's when things got interesting? That's when things started to change. Nico and the Niners worshiping this light, this thing that they made, worshiping this vessel. They're worshiping themselves. They're all confident. It's like their house. But then when Tyler and Josh started to sing truth, they're like, what's going on? They started like freaking out. And then the other people that seemed to be kind of under the spell of Nico and the Niners, it's kind of like they like had this, they started waking up. You guys, singing to Jesus is more powerful than you can possibly imagine. Worship confuses the enemy. Worship puts armies to flight. Worship precedes victory. Who went to Mission Houston this summer? A lot of you. Give me a whoop if you loved it. Whoop! You guys, my favorite part of Mission Houston was not going and serving the city, which was why we went. It was worship. It was every night, every day, worshiping. It was singing to Jesus over our city, over our work projects, and anybody that was there can tell you with confidence, I felt God. Things happened. The Spirit moved. Angel armies descended. Like, it was profound. Why is worship so powerful? I believe, as I thought about it this week, that worship itself, singing to Jesus, is the highest form of repentance, of changing the way that we think. Why? Because when I worship, when I sing to Jesus, like we were doing just a few minutes ago, it immediately moves my mind, my thoughts, from darkness to light. When I start singing truth to Jesus, I immediately stop thinking about slavery and depression and shame and sin, and I start thinking about freedom and joy and heaven coming to earth. When I start to worship, my sorrow turns to joy, and the devil leaves, and it just makes room for Jesus to show up. Really, for me to just recognize that he was there all along. I beg you guys, as your pastor, I beg you to develop a healthy prayer life. that you would pray every day, that praying would be as natural as breathing to you. I beg you to do that. I beg you to read your Bibles, to read truth. You are being bombarded with lies all day long. Just reading truth makes a profound difference. Please, for the love of yourselves, read truth. You guys, I beg you to join a small group. I beg you to find a place to serve in your student ministry. But more than anything else of these five spiritual disciplines, I beg you, I implore you to do the last. Become a worshiper of Jesus Christ. Become a worshiper of Jesus and sing to him and create for him and just be creative and rejoice that you have been set free. You have already been saved. You have already been forgiven. Your eternity is sealed in heaven, because when we walk in that, you have nothing to fear, nothing to be afraid of. What would happen if the next time you were overwhelmed with depression, alone in your room, having ugly, nasty thoughts, instead of getting on Instagram or like pulling the covers up tighter, you just started to sing to Jesus? You guys know, if you've been here a while, that when I was at my lowest point in life, I would walk out in the woods just so sad I wanted to take my life, and I would just sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells." I'm 30 years old, singing out loud like the weird guy down the street, and do you know that I really didn't care, because I needed to remind myself that Jesus loves me, that I know it, the Bible reinforces it. What would happen if next time you are overcome with sadness, you just sing that? Sing Jesus. Sometimes I just sing his name over and over. Say it in Spanish, Jesus. I do it all. You guys, what would happen if next time you're feeling tempted to sin and you are like right at the line about to do the thing you know you don't want to do, that you know you regret? What happens if right then you're like, you know what? I'm going to try and sing to Jesus right now. And you just start, you know, Jesus. Like, it doesn't have to be good, but you just start singing to Jesus. You know what will happen? Everything will change in that moment. Just sing. Just sing to Jesus in that moment. What happens the next time you're feeling vengeful? What happens the next time? Hopefully it's not multiple times, but what happens if next time, tonight even, you're feeling like taking your own life? What happens if in that moment you just start singing to Jesus? Things will change. The Spirit will invade your space. Heavenly armies will camp around your house. They'll start kicking the butts of those things that have been throwing arrows at you all day. Sing to Jesus. Do yourself that favor. Become a worshiper. My favorite line from this song is toward the end. It's when they're having their little concert, and he says, "We'll win. We will win, but not everyone will get out." That is scripture truth all day long. We win. Jesus won. We're with Jesus. We win. It's going to happen no matter what, but not everyone is going to get out. You know people that will probably die this year. Fact. You don't know if you're going to make it through the next 24 hours. You're going to drive on Gosling? That's a dangerous road. I just read the other day that the bridge that goes over Sawdust is the worst bridge in Texas. So watch out. But we don't know how much more time we have. And you, not only yourself, but know other people that literally, Justin, how'd you know? It's just life. People you know will die this year. We owe it to them. We owe it to the God that saved us to let them know Jesus loves you. Jesus has forgiven you. You have hope in Jesus. We grow our faith to make us strong, to grow confident in our faith, to experience heaven come to earth when we pray, but we also grow our faith so that we can show others the way to salvation. Did you know that when Jesus showed you the way, when he showed you the way to salvation, he didn't just rescue you, but he made you a rescuer. If you've been rescued, you're a rescuer too. In these videos and in a lot of their music, Tyler always gets the most attention, right? And he should. He sings awesome, and he's got really funky dance moves. But you know who I like to pay attention to in the videos? I like to pay attention to Josh. I like to pay attention to the guy that has the symbol of the cross on his chest. I like to pay attention to the guy that always keeps the beat, that never waffles in his faith, that clearly knows with confidence who he is. I like to pay attention to the guy that knows, I follow Christ. I am a worshiper. We'll know that too about ourselves if we can take seriously these commands, these warnings. Read your Bible, pray, serve, be part of a small group, and man, worship. Just sing and have fun. Worship and watch stuff happen. It is hard not to watch this video, and I would encourage you guys to watch it again later today, because there's so much more going on. I had 9 pages of notes. You're only hearing about 3 today. There's so much going on, but it's hard not to watch this video and not wonder, Do I love people enough? Do you love somebody? Think of somebody right now that you just kind of like, oh yeah, I know him. Do you love that person enough that you're willing to lay your life on the line, to sneak into enemy ground, to wade through sewers and muck and slime to rescue them? And they might not even go with you, but to lay your life down on the line, to go and rescue them, even though they're like a backslider who's like just always back and forth, are you willing to lay your life down for that person? God, I hope so. Because that's exactly what Jesus did for you. He came down into enemy territory. He laid his life on the line to rescue us and to let us know, now you go be a rescuer. I hope that even the people that are least of these in my life, that I'd be willing to lay my life down for them. They're worth it because I was worth it and you're worth it. Bailey, you guys go ahead and take the stage. We're going to wrap up our sermon. I know I went long. I don't care. Jesus knows what's waiting for every single one of us outside of this room. When you leave church today, Jesus knows what's waiting for you out there. He knows the eating disorder you might be wrestling with. He knows the drug addiction. He knows your pornography addiction. He knows that unhealthy relationship that you just, every time you're in it, you just can't say no. I get it. I've been there. He knows your shame. He knows that you have an enemy that is setting up schemes against you since before you were born. What does Jesus say to you today? He says this in James chapter 1. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. You know what he's saying right there? We are supposed to approach life by saying, bring it on. Let your endurance grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, when you read the Bible every day and worship and serve and are part of a small group, when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, complete. You will need nothing. So, if today you need wisdom, if today you need help reading your Bible, if today you need to think of worship in a new way, if today you need to, I need an accountability partner, I need to be part of a small group, I need to serve. If today you need wisdom, just ask our generous God and he will give you whatever you need. I want to respond in prayer today. I want you guys to grab your pens and your brown cards and pull them out. And I'm going to give you two questions to answer, one on each side. And then I'm going to pray over us and we're going to release to worship. But I want you to write out your prayers. And I'd be honored if you would drop them in the offering boxes so we can pray over them this week for you. But on the first side of that card, I want you to write a short, simple prayer to Jesus. And I want you to ask him for whatever has been on your heart in this sermon. What's the thing that you need to grow in the most? Reading your Bible, praying, worshiping, all the above. You just write him a prayer and say, please help me with this. Just ask and he will give it to you. So that's side one. And then side two, would you just ask Jesus to give you his eyes for the people in your life? Would we see the people around us as souls to be saved, as children of God that just don't know it yet? Would we see the people in our lives as worth our discomfort? Would you ask God to change the way that you think about your neighbor? And maybe as you're praying, a specific person will come to mind. Write down their name and ask God to save them. Write down their name and say, Lord, use me to demonstrate your love to this person. You guys write out those prayers. I'm going to remind you that along the back of the room, we're going to have prayer partners available today if you want to pray for anything or anyone. And we can respond today with tithe, communion, and just singing our brains out in this last song. Jesus, thank you for today, and thank you that we get to hear truth and respond to it. And I pray, please bless our response. We need these things. You've made a way for us to do these things. Oh, we're desperate. We're desperate to grow in our faith, to be men and women that overthrow kingdoms, that shut the mouth of a lion. I want to do that. I want to be part of the supernatural. You say, ask. I'm asking for me, for my brothers, for my sisters. Come and have your way in us. Help us be bold in our requests.